I invite you to take your Bibles and open with me to Genesis chapter 21. Here we have a story about Isaac and Ishmael. And the significance of that story is really translated or revealed in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. But in Genesis chapter 21 and in verse 9 it says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which he had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." We see that God's plans and purposes for Abraham's seed and their inheritance is beginning to be presented here in the Old Testament. And God is telling Abraham that Hagar and Ishmael have to leave. That hurt Abraham. Abraham loved his son Ishmael. And it hurt him a lot to do this. But Abraham was obedient. It's one of the things that Abraham was learning obedience by the things that he suffered. And so Abraham, in verse 14, rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. I was reflecting upon this inheritance given to Ishmael some time back in one of the previous messages, that the inheritance of Ishmael was a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. And as I was reflecting upon that, he only got half of that. He had to share that with Hagar. Well, it's not a laughing matter, but anyway. But this incident that is taking place was taking place because God wanted to use it as an allegory in the New Testament. He wanted us to teach us something about law and faith. Law and faith. We often hear of it in terms of law and grace. But I think it's more apropos, or it makes better sense to me to refer to it in terms of law and faith. Because the Word of God says that whatsoever is of the law is not of faith. And so we find that this is beginning to teach an allegory, and that allegory is actually found in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, it tells us which things are an allegory. An allegory is a story that is given to teach a truth. And the story of Ishmael and Isaac and their inheritance is to teach us the truth concerning our inheritance. Ishmael mocked Isaac. He laughed. That word mocking means to laugh. He laughed at him. He looked at Isaac as a joke. But God's not joking about our inheritance. And we need to take Him very seriously about the inheritance that we're going to have. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 24, I'm going to just read, beginning with verse 24, which things are an allegory? Excuse me, I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and entereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So we see the two sons as allegories, and these two sons are a picture of the two covenants that God made with Abraham. This allegory involved two wives or two women. Hagar was a bondwoman. Sarah was a free woman. Ishmael and his descendants are a picture of those who are in bondage. Sarah, a free woman, is a picture or a type of those who have liberty, freedom. The bondwoman is a type and a picture, and her son is a type and a picture of the law. Sarah and Isaac are a picture of those who are under grace or are living by faith. And so we have the two. Bond woman, notice the word bond or bondage, free or liberty. There are two sons. Ishmael was the firstborn. And we know from Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16, it's, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few chosen. Here we have a parallel to a certain degree. Ishmael was firstborn, and so therefore, under the law, at least the law of the Jews, the firstborn was to get a double portion inheritance. In other words, he was to get twice as much as any of the other children that were in the family. But of course, we know that Ishmael did not get a double portion. He got bread and water. And so the two sons, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And Isaac was born later, and therefore we see that he became first. The two covenants. The two covenants are Mount Sinai and the Jerusalem that is from above. Mount Sinai is in the wilderness. That's where the law was given. Was in the wilderness. That has to do with an earthly inheritance, earthly promises. Galatians 4:25 says, "For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children." The Jerusalem that now was at that day was the Jerusalem that was in the land of Israel, the geographical land. The southern part of the tribe of Benjamin. That's where Jerusalem was located. And it answered to Mount Sinai, or where the law was given. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us that the law is not of faith. And so we find the law is in contrast or is contrary to that which is of faith. The Jerusalem which is heavenly, or that which is above, is in type a heavenly Jerusalem. In fact, we know that there will be a heavenly Jerusalem, and that city is where the bride will stay. And in Galatians 4:26 it says, "But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all." And again, the law is not of faith. There are two inheritances. the wilderness inheritance and the inheritance in the land. And these are showing us the types and the pictures of what you will have if you're under the law, and what you will have if you're pleasing God. Because if you're living by faith, you're pleasing God. The wilderness is one of the inheritances, and that inheritance is offered to Ishmael, a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. Genesis 21 in verse 14 says, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child. And then I just made a mention of the fact that they too had to split that inheritance. And of course it didn't last very long. Where was that inheritance? It was in the wilderness. The law provides an inheritance east of the Jordan River, all the way to the Euphrates River. And it's a wilderness inheritance. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 20, it says, God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became a archer or a hunter. The inheritance in the wilderness has to do with earthly promises. In Ezekiel 37 and verse 12, it says, Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. This has to do with the earthly inheritance. God has promised that land to the nation of Israel, and even though the Jews that have died in the past, God's going to raise them up out of their graves, give them life, and He's going to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. This is a promise from God. This is the inheritance under the law. Now, the inheritance of Isaac is the type or a picture of the inheritance that is in between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. This is known as the land flowing with milk and honey. This is the better inheritance. Abraham, when he came out of Egypt, in Genesis 13:2, was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. This is the inheritance that Isaac got. And we know that Isaac dwelt in the land of Hebron with Abraham, because it tells us that in Genesis chapter 35. In other words, he stayed in the land flowing with milk and honey where Ishmael went to the wilderness. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it talks about the heavenly inheritance. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, pleasing God. This is a heavenly inheritance. So we're seeing the allegory, the picture of two inheritances. One is so much better than the other. I don't say it doesn't defy imagination. When you think about cattle and silver and gold compared to a loaf of bread and a bottle of water, you know, that's like finding a penny on the street, where one fellow finds a penny on the street and another fellow wins the lottery. I mean, you know, the Powerball lottery. I'm not talking about, you know, there's no comparison in the two. Paul tells those at Galatia in verse 21, Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? The law provides us with bondage. Now, I realize the fact that we can't relate to the law too much because we don't have the ceremonial laws that the apostles were under at a period of time, and the people that Paul was writing to at this time. We don't appreciate the significance of being under the law. The law in those days included the ceremonial law. But I think that there's something here that we can grasp that will help us, because talking about the law is really talking about the commandments, plural, the commandments of God. And just if we're so caught up with the commandments of God that we can't think of anything else but those commandments, then we're in bondage. But it's the commandments of God in our life should be like driving. I don't know whether you ever experienced driving a car, but I can sort of experience again the feeling I had when I pulled away from the curb and caught up to speed and moved from the right-hand lane out into the middle lane. It almost took my breath away to think I was out in the middle lane and I'm driving down the road, you know, and I was watching the lines, you know, and you got to keep it between the lines. You know, after a while, that's no longer a problem. You know, you're not looking down at the lines. You're looking down the road and you're looking at the scenery occasionally, you know. The law should be, the keeping of the commandments should be like a person who has learned to drive. Something you're not concentrating on all the time. Something that you do automatically. But the law can bring us into bondage. And Paul is talking about that in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the bondage or the yoke of bondage. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40, it tells us that the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Grasping those two will help you with the rest of it, with the rest of the commandments of God. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, it says, But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The commandments and faith, they have to go together. They cannot be separate. If you're just living under the commandments of God, you're in bondage. But if you're living in the commandments of the Lord and living by faith or trusting Him, you'll have the inheritance that Isaac will have. In Luke chapter 18, there was a certain ruler that asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, or life of the age? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Jesus is telling him, You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. If all you do in your life is simply keep the commandments, you will not have treasures in heaven, but you'll have an earthly possession. You'll have an earthly inheritance. God is placing a premium on trusting Him or living by faith. And just simply knowing the commandments and keeping the commandments will not give you a better inheritance. That's the reason why there was an allegory between Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was the one who was chosen by God, and Isaac is a picture of those who live by faith. Ishmael is a picture of those who only keep the commandments, and they don't live by faith, and their inheritance will be an earthly inheritance. In Revelation 14 and verse 12 it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." It's important to do both. That's the key. Doing both. We know that Timothy tells us that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. In other words, those who do not honor their parents. And for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The law is for them. Ecclesiastes tells us in verse 12, verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." If we just keep the commandments of God, what have we done? Our duty. I've been sharing these verses on law and to show you that just doing the commandments is just doing our duty. Doing our duty. When I was in the Navy, we did duty. Duty was something that no one wanted to do. Standing watch was one of the duties. I didn't like it. The reason I didn't like it, because I was losing sleep. Midnight watch. Part of the duty was cleaning the barracks. Part of the duty that we had was cleaning the latrine. We had duty. It was something that we had to do, and we didn't like it. And there are times when we just simply... And let me say this. If you did your duty, nothing, nobody said anything to you. If you didn't do it, they would. But you know, when you did more than was required, then you were recognized. You were recognized and commendated. I know that when I was in A school down in New Orleans, in ordnance school down there, I put in extra time. An extra effort to make good grades in my classes that I was taking while I was in that school in the Navy. And you know what? I got a letter of commendation from the captain of the base. Didn't get any more money, but I did get a commendation, a letter of recognition. And that came because I put forth extra effort. And that's what God wants us to do in our life. Ishmael was a type or a picture of those who do not put forth any extra effort in their walk with the Lord. They're willing to just come to church on Sunday and put a few bucks in the plate, and so to speak, and that's their duty to do. They're just simply getting by. There are people today that do that in school. They just, you know, I did that some in school too, just got by. It hurt me to do that. But Solomon says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. But God wants us to do more than that. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, it says, "So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do." When you have done just simply what your duty is to do, what have you done? You've accomplished nothing, really. Nothing to be commended of. In fact, the Lord says you're an unprofitable servant. Unprofitable. God wants us to be profitable. I included in Romans chapter 12. There are many passages. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount is going the extra mile. That's just like in the days of Rome, or, you know, under Roman rule, A Roman soldier could tap you on the shoulder and say, I want you to haul my backpack to the next town. Actually, it was further than a mile for a while. Then the Roman government, and I got this from David Jeremiah, he was talking about it. He said that a Roman soldier could get you to carry a pack to the next city. But they started getting afraid of the people, so they passed a law that they could only require a citizen to carry it 1 mile. So they changed it so that it wouldn't make the people, you know, get the people out of hand. But can you imagine a Roman soldier tapping you on the shoulder and say, would you carry this a mile for me? And you pick it up and you'll trudge down the road for a mile. And you turn to the soldier and you said, would you mind if I carry this another mile for you? Man, what a testimony that'd be. Going the extra mile, doing something that is beyond what is required. That will give you treasures in heaven. That's the point. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, be not slothful in business. That word business is translated other ways. And one of the ways it's translated is diligence. Be not slothful in diligence. Go the extra mile. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Doing more than is required. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. These are extra things, I think. Rejoicing in hope means that you're rejoicing even though what you're hoping for you don't have. And you can't get it. And you need it, but you still can rejoice hoping that you'll get it. Rather than being down in the mouth about it. Patient in tribulation. Knowing that it will pass. The passage of Scripture in Lamentations 3, it says, the Lord will not cast off forever, neither will He always, though He cause grief, He will not cast off forever. I can't quote it very well, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn over there and read it to you. There are times when the Lord's just going to try us. In verse 31 of Lamentations 3, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. The Lord's going to allow grief to come from time to time. And yet His mercies is coming too. And we need to be patient in trouble and tribulation. Let me tell you this. Those who are of Ishmael's bent are going to laugh at you and I who do more than is required. Just mark it down. They're going to laugh at you, mock us. We need to continue in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing the necessity of saints. Giving. Giving. Not stingy. Giving. Given to hospitality. Blessing them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Get involved emotionally with other people. Be of the same mind one to another. You love yourself. You love them as yourself as well. Be not high-minded. Or be not high. Mind high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil, proving things honest in the sight of all men. The 12th chapter of Romans gives us an example of doing more than is required. And in closing, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, where it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? It's moral excellence. And a moral excellence, knowledge. That's extra. You know what that means? That means studying your Bible. That's going beyond. That's going even beyond just reading your Bible on a daily basis. That's studying words and learning the meaning of words. That's the significance of that. And to knowledge, temperance, are self-control, patience is endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and loving one another. This is, we need to add that to our faith, and faith is what is needed if we're going to please God. We need to be encouraged to go the extra mile. We need to be encouraged to do more than is required. If all we do is that which is our duty to do, we're under the law. It's a burden. We're doing it and we're grinding it out. There's no joy. There's no peace. I'm going to serve my time and I'm getting out. Well, I did that. I served my time and I got out of the Navy. But the Lord wants us to do more and to do it with joy. To do it with joy. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, for the example of Ishmael and Isaac. And truly, Lord, we desire a better inheritance. We desire treasures in heaven. We know, Lord, that we can't live apart from the law and expect to live by faith. And we know that the rich ruler was willing to live by keeping the commandments, but he was not willing to trust You, not having anything. So, Lord, we pray that You would help us to do more than is required. Help us, Lord, to please You and to be like Isaac in our walk with You from day to day. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.